Welcome to Red Alert Radio, grassroots radio with an ear on the issues that matter to you. Hosted by your local Labour MPs.
Kia ora koutou katoa, ngami hinui kia koutou. Welcome to yet another episode of Red Alert Radio. My name is Priyanka Radhakrishnan and I'm the Labour List MP based in the Maungakeakea electorate. Now, this is the first episode that I'm doing after the government released our wellbeing budget. So I just wanted to say very quickly that I'm really excited about the budget. The wellbeing budget is it's particularly exciting because of the approach that it adopts. It tackles some of the long-term issues that are facing us as a nation, issues like mental health, child poverty, family violence, and homelessness. And I'm also excited about it because it focuses on the outcomes rather than the silos of budget bids as we've seen in previous budgets. Today, though, we're going to be focusing a little bit about on youth issues and specifically issues for our young people on the eastern part of the Maungakeakea electorate. And with me in the studio today, I have two very special guests. I have actually mentioned their organization in a previous episode that I've recorded. My guests today are from an organization called Flipping East. And with me in the studio, I've got Prerna Chowdhury and Rosita Faavesi, both of whom are youth activators. Welcome to both of you.
Hello.
Hi. Thanks for coming on the show. Prerna, we might start with you and then go on to you, Rosita. Just a little bit of an introduction. Tell me who you are, what your journey has been, and how you've landed up here, I guess, with Very Flipping cool. East.
Sounds good. So my name is Prerna Chowdhury, and I was born in Australia, and I've grown up in New Zealand since I was seven. I moved to Auckland in 2014 to do university studies. I did my Bachelor's of Health Sciences, and then for how I joined Flipping East was I chose social innovation in the community development area as my project for my master's. And so I chose Flipping East and I joined July last year. And ever since we've been working on all sorts of projects around wellbeing, activating or empowering young people to do, you know, their thing and allowing them opportunities to kind of get out in their community and do stuff. Mm. So, it's been like 10 months for me. Hmm. No. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. And Rosita, what's your journey been?
How has my journey been? It's been very different to planners. I was just someone from the community, and I don't have any, I guess, qualifications to be in the space. So for me, it was more like I met my team planner and Carl at this social lab, and it was just a gathering of people from the community who came together and my co-papa on that night was, I guess, talking about the drivers and the barriers of youth well-being and what it meant to us as youth. And from then on, I just connected so well with the people who are in my team now that they saw something in me, I guess, and then recruited me to be part of the team. And, and I've been with them for six months now.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, I'd like for both of you or either one of you to start maybe to tell us a little bit about Flipping East, what the organization does, what are some of the focus areas maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Flipping East was a response to a cluster of youth suicides that happened in 2017. Mm. And so obviously the Tāmaki area, it was just a shock to the community. And so along with Flipping East, there were some other organizations that kind of responded as well. Mm. But from that, we people were trying to look for innovative ways to do things. And so one of the ways for Flipping East was looking at moving away from project management. So plan something super tightly and then expect it for the project to deliver exactly what you think it should. But we try to have a different approach to it in terms of prototyping and experimentation. So that means you just have a minimum viable product and then you go, let's see if it fails or wins. If it fails, all good. We know that this doesn't work, let's do this. So it's like small progresses and you keep going. So we tried that approach. And so we run on cycles, and we've got three six-month cycles. And so now we know what works, what doesn't. But yeah, so one of our projects was having student councils in schools. And we know in research that it works really well. And so it doesn't have to be student council. It's just one of the tools to utilize or have youth be empowered in the community. And the other element was also increasing civic engagement for young people, because governance and democracy and what the local board does, these kids have no idea, and they should, because their livelihoods depend on it.
Absolutely true. Just going back to your point around youth suicides in 2017, and I remember that as well, because that for me was the lead up to the 2017 election. And I had been told, I was just wondering if you have any figures, any stats around that, because I was told that there were about 9 within that 10-month campaign period.
Oh, really? So, I was just told double numbers for sure. It was within, I don't know, campaign, but maybe beforehand. I was just told double figures, but I don't want to say it because I don't want to be wrong.
Yeah, sure.
But it was like enough to make you go, that's crazy, you know?
Yeah.
And the other two are youth council and placemaking.
Activating public spaces and local spaces so that youth can take ownership of spaces in the community, because often I think with placemaking, youth aren't involved in that process, so they're sort of left out and almost used in a tokenistic way. And so this with this placemaking project, it's including them in every part of the journey, from creating the project to implementation, all the way through to the evaluation.
So if you were asked what some of the achievements have been, Flipping East's achievements, what specific ones would you point to?
Definitely the student councils. So we've set one up in Otago Intermediate. This is our second running, they were quite dependent on us facilitating the meetings and things like that. But slowly we've even created a toolkit in this draft stage that helps teachers, you know, helps students run a meeting and how you do that, and helps them project plan, and helps teachers to how to let it be an autonomous meeting, because obviously it can feel like a classroom setting where teachers are telling young people what to say and do. So it's important for it to be student-led, so they can implement, you know, Mufti Day or this when they think it's right and when they've heard from their peers. So that's been really awesome. And this, obviously the student council. Youth council is the second one.
I think one of our biggest achievements is the youth council.
So this is the Tāmaki Youth Council been set up?
That's right. And the journey of it has been really amazing, connecting with other youth councils across Auckland, and also connecting with the Auckland Youth Voice Network, where it's a big collective of people who really care about youth leadership and youth voice. And so learning from them and taking on from their learning journeys and how we can be properly set up and just working together. And right now we're in the process of setting up the core infrastructure of the youth council. So that's admin side of things. Upskilling the executive team and all the little things, relationship building with key stakeholders in the community, and eventually forming a relationship with the local board, which is Manukia Kia Tāmaki. And so that's where we are with that so far.
And what will be some of the focus areas of the youth council?
Well, we had this really We had an induction weekend, and we had this amazing time where we split up the youth council into three groups, and in those three groups, we explored different parts of Tāmaki, and they were Glen Innes, Pamuil, and Mount Wellington, leaving Point England to another time, and we engaged with community, and we went around asking people, what do you see around you that hinders or supports community and youth well-being, and understands, supports it, and there was something else. Oh, and what do you see around you that also hinders and supports civic engagement?
Mm-hmm.
And through that time, we got to collate a lot of information and also take from the youth council members' own personal experiences and stories. And we came to an agreement that our three focus areas will be... The first one
was creating awareness of opportunities that already exist.
Yeah.
So young people go, "Oh, I wish this was here, but it's you know, there is stuff out there, you just don't know about it."
And then the second one is collaborating with other youth on creating or taking ownership of youth spaces. Just to give them more opportunities as well, because maybe there is something, but it's not something catered for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
For example, LGBT youth in Tāmaki, they need a voice too. They need spaces too. So that's just one specific example. And our third focus area was empowering youth to, I guess, foster leadership through voice and action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So always presenting platforms that... you know, local young people can utilize, because, yeah, we have this beautiful youth council, but they were probably from the more privileged. No, I don't know. Like, they were there in the right space and time to hear about us, you know, and now they've got the opportunity. So next time, you know, we just want to reach as far as we can next year when we elect again, or select the youth council again.
Sure.
Yeah.
So going back to your point around youth spaces, do we have many youth spaces in Tāmaki?
I think we have some, and I guess and I think for those that do already exist, they're not doing too well in terms of plugging it, like getting it out there, letting youth know that it's there. And
are these physical spaces that we're talking about, or platforms?
Yeah, for sure. Physical spaces.
Right.
And I guess platforms too. Do you want me to get specific on?
Yeah, sure.
So we have the Phenomenal Young Woman space, and this occurs every Wednesday evenings from 5 to 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. And there's a space for any young girls to come together, and you literally decide what you want in that space. So if you want to, I guess if you want a workshop on cooking, you come and you say that, and then we'll do something on it. If you just want to watch movies, we can do that. If you want to learn a new skill, if you want to have, I don't know, a debate night, like that space is for young women. And that space was created around the idea that many young women don't feel safe at night, and they need to strengthen their journey with seeking female friendships, and in that way how it supports their well-being.
Yeah, so they build their own sort of support network as well.
For sure.
So I'm going to ask you a very rookie question now. When you say young, how do you define young? What are the age limits?
So it's 12 to 24
right.
by the, what was it, MYD?
Ministry for Youth Development.
Yeah.
So that's what we have, but...
But, yeah, I do want to say that we still accept girls who are much younger than that.
And or older.
In those spaces.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the youth council, but definitely those spaces.
And the opportunities that you're looking at. And do you get much interest in girls who are younger than 12? Is there much of a need that you can see at this point?
I would say we don't get many young... We don't get many girls that young, and I think it's mostly because parents don't want them out that late.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
No, that's fair enough. Just going back to, I think both of you have touched on the need for civic engagement, or you know, for young people to be to know how they can participate. Tell me a little bit about why you think that that's important.
So first of all, you know, young people or just families, we can get so bogged down in, okay, guys, let's get food for, then you have to go to school, this, this, that. Like, you can completely be engulfed in your own world, and for obvious reasons, but you don't, a lot of us don't fail to kind of think about the wider system and why it exists, and people go, oh, I'm not political, but you are, literally our lives are politicized all the time. And it's not politics has a dirty word, it's, you know,
it's far for youth.
Yeah, it is.
So you're saying either it's people, young people feel it's unattainable, or they can't quite understand it, or relate to it, and for some it's tainted
as
well.
It is, yeah, and it's like an adult, that's what adults talk about, you know, that's not what we talk about.
Sure.
But the thing is, because, but then now you see what is happening to young people, you know, there's not a lot of, you know, I mean, just showing the youth suicide rate is one of the highest in the developed world, you know, and you can just see that we aren't doing enough for our young people. And that might be because our young people aren't as involved to be like, hey, this is happening to us. And yeah, I mean, there needs to be, social studies actually was a subject that was meant to teach democracy and governance for our young people. And it's not doing that because it might be easier for some teachers to just, you know, teach like history or factual things. But kids or young people need to actually learn what it means to be critically aware. Because, yeah, it's. And that's something that needs to be worked on internationally, and it's not. Young people, we need to understand. I think the language around local boards, governance, is out of touch or out of reach for a lot of young people.
It's inaccessible,
So how are you, or how is Flipping East bridging that gap?
So we're trying our youth council, student council approach. We've also written, I didn't mention this before, we did some interviews with researchers that actually research youth civic engagement in Victoria University. And that was a few weeks ago. And Bronwyn Woods. And she's done years of research on it. And so what we want to do is collate all this research from the community. We want to carry out interviews from community members, you know, experts, and then collate it together to give it to our stakeholders that have influence in this educational realm, to be like, hey guys, look, this is what the experts are saying about governance, can we implement it in our, you know, schools and classrooms in some way, can we get social studies teachers on board, you know,
and what kind of questions will you be asking your local youth? What do you want to find out from them?
I think we want to get personal and be like, okay, why do you think, what is impacting you in your life? What makes you happy? And then we kind of just dig in, you know, so you have to make it personal for young people first. You can't just be like, oh, the world, you know, the world, this is what's happening in the world. You have to start local and from them. So
what's happening in your life?
What's happening in your household? How is it going? What do you think impacts that? Then what do you think impacts that? And then you...
So you're trying to get to a point where you determine what some of the barriers are for young people to play governance roles, or to get involved.
Or why they should. Yeah, why they even should be part of that talk.
So the link between politics and life.
Yeah.
And how decisions made in places like Auckland Council or Parliament then have the power to shape your lives or to change.
Yeah,
no, I think so that's awesome.
That's what we're trying to do, because especially the more affluent communities are already up there. You know, once everything, a survival meets, per se, are met, then, you know, you go on the next step, whereas communities, you know, different, like, less affluent communities are...
just focusing on trying to get by.
By, you know, and their voices then aren't ultimately heard. And so if you start with a younger age group, then they can get that critical consciousness mentality thinking. Instead of fighting each other, you're fighting... not fighting, but you're thinking up. Yeah. Mm.
And these are incredibly important voices. And for us, I guess, in Parliament, if we're meant to be the House of Representatives, then we've got to be able to represent different groups of people, including young people and young people from different backgrounds. Mm. So you've actually, in this conversation, you've identified what some of the barriers are. Mm. So you've said, for example, that some young people feel that they can't relate to politics and therefore don't quite understand why they need to get involved. Mm. You've mentioned that some young people, particularly from maybe families or communities that are struggling, are quite concentrated on just getting by and therefore don't have the energy or the time perhaps to get involved. Mm. So how can we I guess, cross some of those barriers that you've already identified? What would make, you know, thinking of your experiences or the experiences of people you've spoken to, what are some tangible things that we can do to remove those barriers? So one you've said is educating young people so they know what the existing opportunities are and how to access those. Mm. What about some of the other barriers? What about people from less affluent communities that are struggling? What can we do?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is where do these youth what spaces do they take up? And it's schools. That's the first place that I think of. And I think implementing youth leadership groups like student councils is one way of bridging that gap, and also not just limiting it to a number of people to be in that student council, but empowering them, I guess, to get others on board and really feeding into those kids so that they can, you know, spread that information outward. And so that's one way I can think of.
Yeah, I can think of maybe, I just think, like, young people in this community, they love music and rapping. And so I was thinking we do something around there. I'm not sure what it looks like. Mm. But it's just tapping into places that they already feel comfortable with,
right?
You know, and then bringing that into them. So it's not like they're not the guest in this unknown world. Like, it's them. It's coming
to
them. It's their space. Mm. Yeah, and it's making it personal. And it's like, oh, it's making them go, oh, obviously this is the way I have to do it. Mm. Like, making them realize that this is the go. Like, this is important. And I can think of community, you know, I can think of community days and project, like, those are the classic kind of things, but I think we have to think deeper, and I think music and what they already are into.
Yeah. I like that. So basically go to spaces where they're already at, like schools, as you've said, Rosita, and then also to find other spaces outside of that that they already feel comfortable in and safe in, and then to go there and reach them in those ways.
Yeah.
What about social media? Is that...
Yeah, we love social media.
We have this really cool idea, the Youth Council have this really cool idea of having like an online map where it maps out all the spaces where there'll be, where youth can, you know, be at. And when you click on something in there or zoom in, and then it has all the information about what's going on there and what happens there. So that's one idea.
Yeah, and we love Instagram and Facebook.
I've noticed. Yeah. You do a great job on Instagram.
Yeah,
as
thank
well.
You. Rosita's really good. Definitely that is quite interactive, and it's just everything is there, because at the moment all these amazing ideas and projects exist, but they're just scattered and there's no one-stop shop thing.
Yeah.
So it'd be really cool to have like maybe a website or...
Yeah.
A website, there's so many websites, but just like maybe a local board could have like a youth, I don't know, young people.
Like an app that young people can use.
Yeah.
Sorry, and we've also thought of, actually I saw this idea from Sarah Colcord, who's part of the Mani Reo Local Board. But she had this really cool idea where you have, I guess, YouTube tutorials where you talk about local governance, but you break it down where it's actually accessible and understood. Because one thing that we find is youth, I myself didn't even know what the local board was before getting to this work, to be very honest. And then it took me a while to be able to actually comprehend it because of all the jargon. Mm. And so when we came together at our youth council meeting on Friday, we had to really break down everything so that it's actually understood and sinks in. So that's another idea.
Yeah, that's great. Some really good ideas.
Yeah.
In the time that we have remaining, I thought we could also talk a little bit about youth mental health and well-being, because just going back to that first meeting, you know, when I first met you guys, that was one of the first things I think that came out, and you've also mentioned it as one of the reasons that Flipping East was started, was the youth suicides and mental well-being issues that you've seen within this particular area, I guess, that you work in. Mm. There's been a whole bunch of initiatives that have been announced through the wellbeing budget, including a focus on supporting youth mental well-being, mental health. So, for example, extending the Nurses in Schools program to include Decile 5 schools, because now 1 to 4 is funded, but not 5, so extending that. And also, there's been quite a bit of research that's shown that when you have on-site support, that there's, you know, a reduction in depression and suicidal risk, basically, as well. So that's where that comes from. Mm. Also, resources that are being funded for teachers to encourage mental resilience, so encouraging young people to actually talk about what's going on for them. Also, you know, I guess a new universal frontline service for mental health that I'm really excited by, because one of the things we talked about when we first met and one of the things that I've heard from a number of people is that now when you want to access mental health services, you either have to be at the risk of suicide, so much later in the piece, or it depends on where you live, because accessing mental health services has been such an issue, which is why we've seen an increase in suicides as well. So the new service is going to be rolled out to through all frontline primary healthcare providers, so your GPs, iwi healthcare providers as well, and other health services. So basically, if you go to your GP and you say that you're experiencing depression, you land at a space where your GP identifies that you've got a mental health need, it will get to a point where they can actually walk you over to the services then and there to get you the help that you need. This also includes digital healthcare services and things like that, so looking at it in a slightly different way so that people in the regions, in rural New Zealand, can access. It's basically about the fact that anyone who needs mental health services, wherever they are in New Zealand, should be able to access it immediately. And that's where the government wants to get to.
Awesome.
What are you hearing in terms of what some of the issues are for young people in mental health? Well, we've just got a couple of minutes, so just be a quick round.
Young people, well-being.
I think it's a lot of things. I think it's inadequate housing, income.
Accessing mental health as well.
Access. I think a lot of this stuff is around stigma. We still have to break down. Kids are going to school. They've got a heap of commitment a lot of times, and they probably push that stuff at the bottom, going to doctors. It's just a fluffy, it's not an exact disease you can put a Band-Aid on. It's a fluffy, weird thing that we're still trying to create a language around, which we don't have.
So being able to identify it, being able to talk about it, and then being able to access the services that you need.
But we're going in the right direction for sure with this budget, which is really exciting.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Very pleased to hear that.
Yeah.
Can I just thank you both very quickly for taking the time and the effort to be here today.
Thank you
both
for having us, Prink.
Rosita and Prerna from Flipping East. Thank you once again for being here and for sharing your insights on what we need to do for our young people.
Thank you.
Get together with your local MP next week at 9:05 a.m. Or listen online anytime on planetaudio.org.nz/redalertradio.